All right, what's up, everybody? Welcome to week number two in our series called Pneuma. So glad that you are here. Come on this snowy Sunday. How many appreciate all that snow? Lord have mercy. I see that. I see that our video for this series, and I'd love to be at the ocean. You know what I mean? Instead of seeing all that white stuff out there, that's for sure. Hey, want to welcome all those watching online. I'm sure we're going to have a lot more watching online too this week. So glad to have our online family. Thankful for you guys as well. Come on, Elevate City. Can we just welcome all those who are watching online with us today? Come on, let's put our hands together. Yeah. Thankful for the power of technology. And so God bless you guys too. And reaching people all over the watch. And so we're thankful for you guys. Man, how y'all doing with your 21 days of prayer and fasting? You doing well? All right, good. About half the room. All right, praise the Lord. Well, we are in our 21 days of prayer and fasting. It's been incredible. We're in day eight today, day number eight, and man, God's just been moving, and just excited for what's been happening. And you know, in this fast, expect God to speak, expect God to move. Amen. And so, if you're new to this or you missed last week, I want to encourage you. A couple things that we have out at the Hub is our pray first, our prayer guide and fast. Guide. If you've never gotten a hold of this, or again, if you're here for the first time, grab this. And then we also have wristbands out there that just say pray first. And so this will be a big help to you in just helping to know how to pray, and also to just helping to know different types of fasts that you can do. And so I just encourage you to participate, be a part of it. I know for me personally, this is a fast that I have just dove in, and going after this fast, just with more tenacity than maybe any other fast I've ever done, and just expecting God to move. And so I'm just chasing God in 2019 like I just got saved last night. You know what I mean? And so just going after God with everything within me. And so just excited for that, and just praying for you guys as well through this. And so we've had a great time. We're doing prayer rally times. If you don't know, we had our first two this past week on Wednesday night. So it's Wednesday night right now through this fast at 7 o'clock. It's just 1 hour, 7 to 8. We end on time, start on time, end on time, and 7 o'clock right here at the church, and then Saturday morning at 10 a.m. here at the church, again, 1 hour, and man, we just have, through our prayer rally, just a few different things that's happening during that time, but man, on Wednesday night, we had our largest prayer gathering in the history of our church. It was incredible. I mean, so many people that came out. Yeah, I mean, I got real happy too, and I'm just telling you, just as your pastor, man, just seeing that, you'll never know how just you being here, how much that ministers back to us and back to my heart. But just see so many people just, man, praying and crying out to the Lord. It was just awesome. And so, man, we had times of worship, time of just personal, just prayer time. And then we end with corporate prayer just together. And it was just so good. And yesterday was so good as well. And so I just invite you to be a part of what God's doing, and to join in with us on these prayer rallies. So we'll be back at it this Wednesday, 7 p.m. And I'm helping to teach on some of these as well. And so I really, really enjoyed my time. But there's a scripture that this past week that's really just kind of came to life to me, that I really have been using this to just speak over us as a church, and it's out of Isaiah 58:6, and it says, "Is not this the kind of fasting that I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke?" I don't know if anybody in the room today has got some things that you need to see God untie and to break some things, but that's what's available through this fast as well, and to set the oppressed free and to break every yoke. And so I just encourage you, stay focused, lean in, and be encouraged during this fast. Hey, if you had that Hershey bar and you were fasting it, don't get legalistic with this thing, all right? Just start back and keep going, all right? And so some of y'all know what I'm talking about, all right? The temptation is great. And so pray through it. Try to pray through that, all right? And that's the point of praying and fasting. So last week, though, we talked on, as we begin this series on Pneuma, we talked about the person of the Holy Spirit, who he is and his role. If you missed that, make sure you go online and watch it this week. And we learned that the original manuscript of the Bible is actually written in Hebrew and Greek. And so we learned the word pneuma, which we'll review that in a second. But I want to teach you a new one out of the Old Testament of what that spirit, that word spirit or ghost means out of the Old Testament. And so we're going to see some things. But it's the Hebrew word ruach. Everybody say ruach. And it's almost like you should have a little phlegm in your back of your throat, like ruach, you know, kind of deal. All right. Can you do that again? Ruach. There you go. All right. And it means this: a wind, breath, a violent exhalation, a blast of breath. It's interesting that the word spirit or ghost is mentioned at least 800 times in your Bibles. And so when you see the word spirit or ghost in the Old Testament, it's actually the Hebrew word ruach. All right. And so they put spirit or ghost there, but it's actually wind. It's actually breath is what it really means, is what ruach means. And so it was in the second verse of the Bible in Genesis 1:2. Let's look at it. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God, everybody say the Spirit of God. All right, try it again. Come on with some real oomph. Say the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, which means this, that the breath of his voice and out of his mouth came forth creation. Out of his mouth came forth trees and plants and the stars and humans and everything that you and I see. So it's the blast of his breath, what came out of his mouth. That's what set in motion creation. And so, and it is important that we see that because it helps us to relate to that part of who he is, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. And it's that same breath that can propel you and I out of whatever situation, whatever darkness that we may be facing, to see us come up out of that thing in Jesus' name. And then last week we learned the Greek word for spirit or ghost is the word pneuma. Everybody say pneuma, which is again a current of air, blast of breath, a strong breeze. All right. And so if you're following along in our notes today in your worship guides, those are in there that you can write in. And again, the translators struggled with this. When they were translating, English translators were translating Hebrew and Greek, they struggled with this part. And because really it's holy, it should be read instead of Holy Spirit. It really is holy wind is how you interpret it and the right understanding. But translators, I think, did a good job when they translated it ghost or spirit. All right. And then John 6:63 says this: the Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. Jesus said, the words that I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. The word I spoke, Jesus said, that there are words that have power and fulfillment, that blast of air, that blast of breath into your life. And so even as you're reading the Word of God, just know this, that it's not just words on a page, but it's the breath of God as you're reading. It's the blasting of His breath and experiencing His Holy Spirit and experiencing power. And I like to say it as just fresh air. Fresh air, because that's to me what it is. When you spend time with the Holy Spirit, it's experiencing fresh air in your life. Now, let me just, before we get in our notes here, and I give you a couple things to write down, here's something you may want to write down, and that is understanding this, that what you and I do with Jesus determines our eternity. All right, but what you and I do with the Holy Spirit helps to determine how we live from today, from now until eternity. It's important that we know those two, the distinctions there. Again, let me say it again. What we do with Jesus helps to determine our eternity, but what we do with the Holy Spirit will determine how we live from now in eternity. And how many know you and I need a lot of help on this side of eternity on the earth? And that's the part of the Holy Spirit's job, is to help us, and that's why we need His activity in our life. And it's easy, I think, for us to get stuck in places. And so I want to show you a side of the Holy Spirit today that I think will bring you and I to a place of getting unstuck. How many have ever been stuck before? Just feel like, man, I'm not really moving backward. I'm not even really moving forward. I'm stuck. And so, and I believe this is a part of the Holy Spirit that will help bring, hopefully, just some clarity, but I think some cool revelation to see this side of who He is. And I love this. And that's understanding, again, as you see the Holy Spirit, He's wind. Wind is unseen. Jot that down. Wind is unseen. The Holy Spirit, guess what? You can't see Him. And that messes with a lot of people. A lot of people have a hard time with that. And it's like we have set this filter that everything that I receive from God has to be something I understand or something that I see. And the truth is, this bugs some people, and I make no apologies for what I'm getting ready to say, but this is important that you understand that God didn't intend for you to logically, through your eyes and in your mind, just get it all. He has always, let me say it this way, He has always intended for you to experience Him, and I would even go as far as to say as to feel Him. And to know Him personally. And so there is absolutely nothing like being in the presence of God. Being in the presence of God is the game changer. And it's my prayer during this time of fast, but I pray this over us as a church on Sundays, that there's moments in our service that there's a moment that we know that, man, He's here. something that I feel, something that I hear or even see that witnesses with me, that I know the power of His Holy Spirit is present with me and He is moving. Amen? And so, it's always a prayer. And so guess what? You don't need a worship team to help bring the presence of God, although it's nice to have them on Sundays. Amen, everybody? All right? But you can do this at home. You can take that worship at home and experience Him. You don't need graphics or video or haze or lights. You don't need any of that, man. The Holy Spirit, we learned this last week, is present. He's with us wherever we go. I'll never forget some time ago, there was a family that came, and this wife, she had been coming to our church and been believing for her husband to come to church for some time. And so finally he came. And so I happened to be at the front shaking hands and just, you know, encouraging people on their way out. And he came up. But he came up to me with one of those fingers. Anybody ever point one of them bad boys at you? All right. And so, I didn't know really what to expect. All right. And I thought, oh, Jesus, how's this going to go? You know what I mean? And so, because I've seen fingers before. All right. And so came up with me with that finger. And he said, hey, he said, that service. I said, yeah, what'd you think? Did you enjoy yourself today? And he said, yeah, it was good. It was good. He just kept this. He said, but there was just something. He said, I don't really know how to describe it, Pastor. I'm glad to be here, and it was good, but there was something in that room today. And I felt something that I haven't felt, and I couldn't figure it out. So I'm coming back next week because I want to try to figure this out. How many know that what he was feeling was the Holy Spirit moving on his life, moving on his heart? By the way, that guy ended up getting saved here in our church, and I just love that part. We've got stories like that all the time. And so that's part of his presence. That's part of God's Spirit moving and wooing people closer and closer to him. But I think what happens is we can get stuck in our life because we rely on what God did years ago in our life, and we become convinced that that is our only moment with God. Can I just tell you, your greatest days are not behind you, but your greatest days are ahead of you. And let me even say it this way, that your greatest experiences with God are not behind you, but are in front of you. And I think what happens is we limit God to knowing that, well, I experienced him this way, and I had that encounter 10 years ago. Man, God moved, and yeah, it's probably going to be the best move of his Spirit in my life. And so we limit God and box him in. And can I just tell you, God's the kind of God that he is unlimited in his power, unlimited in his strength, and he doesn't want to be boxed in to your configuration of how you think he should move or not move. You're going to see today, man, he's the God that is on the move, and he is presently active if you'll invite him and allow him to move in your life in such a way. And so what happens is we look back and say, well, he moved that way in my life. And so even for some, if he doesn't move like that, then that's not God. And we kind of start playing God and say, well, it's got to happen like this and like this, or it's not him. How many know, I don't want the God of 10 years ago. I want the God of what he wants for me today and what he wants for my future moving forward. Amen? I want all that he has for me. I want the blast of his breath moving, and I know he's got new things. Forget the former things, Scripture says, and behold that God is doing something new. But will you let him? Will you invite him in every area of your life? And so God not only desires to do more for you, but he wants you to experience him. He's a God not to just be explained, but a God to be experienced. That's who he is. And I don't know about you, but I want his presence. I want the blast of his breath breathing on me again, again, and again. Is there anybody this morning during this 21 days of prayer and fasting here in this second weekend that's desperate for God, that says, man, I want to hear his voice. I want to know him more. I want to experience all that God has. Amen? And so let that desperation carry you for a hunger of more of God. John 20, verse 29 says this, then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. That if you really want the best of God, you have to realize that this is the part of his nature, that he is unseen. Here's the other thing about wind, is that wind is unpredictable. When you fly into an airport and the pilots are trying to land, they're communicating to the air traffic control. Why? Because the wind is unpredictable. I'll never forget when Bethany and I got married. We had our honeymoon was in Cancun, and we were coming back from Cancun to Miami, and then we were flying in from Miami back to Columbus, Ohio, when we lived there. And I'll never forget, this was Bethany's first time flying, by the way, and so it's kind of new experience there and home. And so we're about an hour in the flight heading back home. when all of a sudden I look out the windows and I notice there's storms on each side. Now, something to know about me is I'm a nerd for weather. Like, any weather geeks like me out there? Come on, somebody. No. Okay. Anybody? Oh, there's a few. At least make me feel better, okay? But, and so, while kids were growing up watching cartoons and Tom and Jerry and Bugs Bunny, I was watching the Weather Channel. True story. Yeah, true story. Weather Channel changed my life. Come on, somebody. All right? And so, but I grew up, man. I mean, my parents will tell you, I'd be Saturday mornings in front of that. I will watch the jet streams. Come on. Thought, man, it's moving. You know, so I knew how much snow was coming yesterday. I feel like I ought to be on TV. Come on. Amen. All right? And so, anyways, but here we are on the plane, and we're flying, and there's storms happening. Now, I don't know if you've ever been on a plane, and I've traveled a lot, so I'm definitely used to, turbulence and all that sort of thing, but there are storms taking place. All right, lightning. I mean, it's so cool to see you're that high up and how the lightning moves in the clouds. It's so cool. All of the signs, and all of a sudden, we hit turbulence, and I just, you know, Bethany's just kind of looking at me like, is this normal? You know, I said, oh, no, we cool. It's just turbulence. You know, it's cool, and all of a sudden, it turned from a little this to this. And I thought, no, girl, this ain't normal. We need prayer. we need prayer right now. And I start praying. I was praying everything, praying, Lord Jesus. I think I just got married. I've been a virgin all my life. Help me, Lord Jesus. I want more than 2 weeks with her. Good God Almighty. Help me, Lord Jesus. No, not today. And all of a sudden, man, I kid you not, we're sitting there. Cokes and everything are hitting the ceiling of the plane. I thought we were done. Man, I was coming home. I was a little disappointed if it was a time, but the plane kind of came back up, and there we were. And pilot comes on, and he said, "Folks, you know, we apologize for that. We hit unexpected turbulence. It was unpredictable, the air pocket and the wind that we hit, and so we lost a couple thousand feet. We're ascending back up." just a couple thousand. Yeah, it's cool. It's cool, you know. And so, my God in heaven, I mean, everything I ate was gone. You know what I mean? Like, Lord have mercy. Then, the worst part of it all, so we're sitting there, and all of a sudden, after he gets done talking, a man comes out of the bathroom. The brother was in the bathroom the whole time. We were all praying for our life. God help the man. He walked out white as a ghost. I mean, he was holding on, like, struggling through the row. And I just say, gang, let's just stretch our hands towards him right now in Jesus' name. And so, man, brother was like, I mean, I just felt for him. So what am I saying? Wind is unpredictable. And God likes to do some unpredictable things in your life that you ain't expecting. This past week in our time of prayer and fasting, man, just this week for our family, God did something explosive for us that we just have never seen. And I just believe there's more of that to come for us as a people in a church if we'll press into what God is saying and believe that God can do the miraculous and he can do the powerful. That's who he is, unpredictable. Amen? And so John 3:8 says, Jesus answered. And this is cool. Can I show you something cool in your Bible real quick? That word wind right there is the actual correct usage of the Holy Spirit. This is the only time the English translators decided not to translate it spirit or ghost. They use the actual, what it is, wind. So Jesus answered, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. And here's what Jesus is saying. Listen to this. What he is saying is you and I have got to get comfortable with the fact that you and I are not going to be able to pin him down to a certain way of doing things. Here's why that's important, because if so, this is why it's important. Why? Because what happens is we would then put our trust in a system instead of putting our trust in God. So God said, that's not happening. I'm going to work in this, so I'm going to work how I want to work and to move. Are you with me? And so that's why God would choose to talk to to people in the Bible differently. He talked to Moses, had a burning bush experience. I mean, the bush was on fire and it talked to Moses, a.k.a. Mo. I like Mo. Mo's pretty cool. And so that's what I like to call him. And so Mo comes up and, man, the bush is blazing, and God's talking. How many know if you came up to a burning bush, it might freak you out? I'll just be honest. Like, it freaked me out. I might pee just a little bit as that happened. I mean, I just think it would. You know, that's the kind of, I mean, it just, whoa, like, the bush is talking, you know? And so, like, trying to wrap your mind around that, don't act like that's normal. It's not normal. That's the only time in Scripture. And so, yeah, it'd be a pretty wild experience. And then, you know, you think about Jonah ending up in the belly of a fish. My God, I want to hear God now. I don't want to have to end up in the belly of a fish because I'm not listening to God. Anybody with me? I like to be on the ground. Just don't care to be in the belly. Good God, just
we good. And so then there's another guy in Scripture who comes to Jesus. He's got a friend that's blind, needs healing. And he comes up to Jesus and he says, hey, you know, paraphrasing a little bit here. He says, Jesus, you know, I noticed all these people getting healed. And I noticed you're putting your hands on them. Can you do the hand thing for my friend? And Jesus, and I can imagine the moment. He said, oh, you think the power's in the hand thing. And Jesus does the unpredictable. And he goes, spits on the ground. And he forms a mud pie. And he puts the mud pie on the guy's eyes. And the guy gets healed. And think about that. How many know unpredictable? We have no plans to do mud pies today, by the way, all right? And so we'll let Jesus do that. And so, but some of us are even thinking today, like, man, you know, Kyle, I just hope you're in a place, man, don't mess it up. Just do what you do. I brought a friend here today. Like, don't mess things up. We just like, what happens is we just want things orderly and like how we want it. But God will, he likes messing things up sometimes because we're not in control. He wants to be in control. And we learned this last week. What happens is we, when we're not in control, we feel out of control. But I have found, man, that's one of the safest places to be is in a place where you don't feel in control because he's in control. Are you with me? And so it's important that we understand that, all right? If you like your God orderly, man, he's going to mess you up. Look at the person next to you and say, you're going to get messed up. Don't tell them they're messed up, all right? Be nice, all right? Here's the next thing about wind. Wind is powerful. Everybody say it's powerful. Think about it. Wind can generate electricity. It can sail a ship. It can destroy a whole city. Wind is powerful. And the God that you and I serve is a powerful God. And I have zero interest in serving a powerless God. Nor do I have any interest about talking about the power that once was. I believe fully in my heart that God is still alive, still moving in strength and power and moving amongst his people. For those who call on the name of the Lord will be saved and will experience more of him. And we need, guess what, power that goes beyond our natural. That's called the supernatural power of God. God adds his super to our natural. And we need that. And I think what happens is if we're not careful, listen to me, church, we get into this system of wanting things explained to us all the time. And again, I'm telling you, God is meant to be encountered, meant to be experienced, not always explained. And we have to understand and know that, and I believe with all my heart that God is wanting more and more of us to experience his power in that way. And so we just have this tendency that, well, I want to know, And here's what I know. This is what's dangerous. Listen to me. Hear me very clearly. An intellectual gospel that goes beyond that natural, an intellectual gospel is always endangered of creating a God like you and me. Let me say it this way. If you always want to filter God through your brain, then God can only be the size of your brain. I want a God and need a God that's much bigger than me. Is there anybody else that needs a God that's bigger than you? Anybody else that faces things in your life that you know you and I can't get it done? I need the supernatural power of God. I need his power to move on my situation. And so I don't know about you, but man, that's what I want. I want God to move beyond that. There's a man named Charles Finney. He was an incredible revivalist in America. God used him in a powerful way. Studied him just years ago as a student. And he was actually going in school to be a lawyer. And he had many people tell him about God, and he ended up leading 500,000 people to the Lord. I mean, just incredible what God ended up doing. But before he did all that, he had a struggle with this Holy Spirit part. It's like you read parts of his life where he said, man, I got the God the Father, God the Son, but man, just couldn't wrap my mind around the Holy Spirit part. And he made this statement. I'm going to put it up on the screen. And he said this statement. Look at this. He said, but as I turn and was about to take a seat by the fire, I received a mighty baptism of the Holy Spirit. So it was just him alone, nobody else in the room. He had an experience. And the Holy Spirit descended upon me in a manner that seemed to go through me, body and soul. I could feel, look at this, the impression like a wave of electricity going through and through me. Indeed, it seemed to come in waves and waves like liquid love. Look at this, for I could not express it in any other way. It seemed like the very breath of God. I think it's powerful. It was the breath of God. It was the same breath that was in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2 that we read it about. And we need more than human effort or human ability. We need the power of God. I really believe this can be the greatest year of your life if this is the greatest year of your life spiritually. But guess what? You and I are going to need the power of God to see that happen. And we got to run and get as close to him as we can. Are you with me? And so I just know if we're going to accomplish great things for God, we need his power. And so Acts chapter 1, this is a kind of a cool story. Jesus is having a moment here with the disciples after the resurrection, and he's trying to give them power. No other agenda here, and it's kind of funny what happens. It says, For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. In other words, he said, guys, MYOB, all right? None of your business, all right? That's up for me to know. And he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. In other words, it's not always for you and I to know. And that's tough for us. But that's part of growing in that trust in our relationship with God. And let me be clear, knowledge is okay. It's okay to have knowledge and want to pursue that. That's fine. But if that becomes the litmus test, listen, and the filter for everything that you experience with God, then your God will be the size of your brain. And again, I don't know about you, but I want a God that's much bigger than me because I want to see him do greater things in my life. My best isn't behind me. My greatest encounters with God isn't behind me. Do you believe that for your life? It's in front. It's in front. Our greatest days are ahead of us. Amen? And so it's important. And then Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 11 says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, and just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give you life, that breath that went to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. Man, I just want to experience the breath of God, the blast of his breath, the power of God. So if we're going to experience that, here's a few things that you need to know that I think will be real helpful. Number one is this, is you've got to let go of fears and misperceptions about things. I'm going to kind of explain what I mean by that. Here's what's important. You've got to let go of tradition. Let go of tradition, because tradition will mess you up. And then you've got to kind of let go of the packaging of how people tried to package the Holy Spirit. Because that's where we get off, and that's where we get wrong too, is because people get weird and get spooky. We talked about this last week, but the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. It's who he is. And so what we need to understand is having our own personal experience with him, because he wants to encounter us and see the Holy Spirit and see how he moves and see how he works according to his word. We're going to look in a few weeks the spiritual gifts that happens. And for some, the people and Christians in the world, we get hung up with one gift that causes issues, and that's tongues. What's up with, like, I can do all the, like, the, we don't make a big deal about the gift of faith and the gift of healing, but what's up with them tongues? You know, like, what's up with that? And so we're going to explain some things in a couple weeks, and I think you're going to see a side of the Holy Spirit and continually in this series like you never had before, and experience it in such a way it's going to bring power to your life. Amen, everybody? So I'm excited for it. And here's why. We've got to see it as God sees it, not how we've maybe seen it through people or, again, how people have packaged it. Because that's what can mess with us, okay? And so, again, we got to let go of those fears and those misperceptions. It's what I told us last week. Give me a blank page to work with. All right, give me a blank page to work with you, and let go of all the preconceived ideas that we've had. Psalm 34:4, I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Here's number two, is you got to go all in. Everybody shout, go all in. You got to go all in, not 90%, 50%. Make the decision, I'm going to go all in with God. I'm not going to watch other people do it. I'm not going to stay in the stands when God has called me to play in the game. I'm not just going to cheer on everybody else. No, you know what? Just so you know, in third service, I'm coming in a little bit late from time to time because I spend about 15 minutes with all of our new families that are going through our growth track right now. We got about 20 of them today that are going through. It's amazing, and I'm just back there loving them, encouraging them, but I'm also telling them, thank you for making the decision for your life to go all in. And you know what? Because let me tell you, the happiest people that I personally know in this church are those that have made the decision, they've taken next steps, and they're on the dream team making a difference with their life. Some of the happiest people I know, because they found out what their gifts are and they're using them, because they realize, man, this is no longer about me. This is about God and making a difference through people. Amen, everybody? And I'm so proud of all these. And most of them, I think, all, out of the 20 people, I think one of them has been here for a while. All of them are new families, and I love that. I think it's so cool. All right? So go all in. Go all in with God and make that decision. Jeremiah 29, 13 says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. And it's going to be tough to pursue God unless you seek him with all your heart. Are you with me? All right? And here's the third thing, the final thing, is develop an intimate friendship with him. Get close. Say, well, I know him. Get closer. Well, I've been in a relationship with him. Why? Get closer. I'm new to the faith. Get close and know him today. You, at the end of the service, you'll have an opportunity to know him personally if you don't know him today. But not a distant relationship, but one that you are close with. I want to read this scripture, 2 Corinthians 13. It says, the amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ. And remember, you can't have anything after this unless you connect with his grace first. The extravagant love of God, the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. I'm telling you, man, this is our friend, the Holy Spirit. A great example is our friendship with our phones. How many know we don't leave our phones? We don't leave home without them. How many know some of y'all today, before I come to church, where's the phone at? Hey, baby, where's the phone? Kids got the phone. Find the phone. We got to find the phone. You know, and so we got to find, where's the phone? You know, I mean, we just can't leave without the phone, right? And, I mean, it was so funny. I saw whole families eating at a restaurant not too long ago, Bethany and the kids. I mean, the dad, the mom had their phones out eating. I mean, just, this was like one of these, and just eating. And the kids had the iPads up eating. I mean, nobody was talking to each other while they're eating dinner. It was cracking me up. And, I mean, and even just this week, woman made me so mad the other day. She almost hit me while she was texting while she was driving and about made me spill my bowl of cereal. I was so upset. Some of y'all took your time to get there. Come on up, worship team. Come on up, guys. Isaiah 30. Verse 21, it says, whether you turn to the right or the left, your ears are going to hear a voice. Some of y'all just got it. The breath of God behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. Ephesians 4:30 says, don't grieve God. So, man, Pastor, how am I doing that? Don't break his heart. All right? His Holy Spirit is moving. His Holy Spirit is breathing in you, is the most intimate part of your life, making you fit for himself. Don't take such a gift for granted. Gang, get to know the person of the Holy Spirit. Let's get as close as we can. Let's not hold back. And I don't know about you. Like I said earlier in this message, man, I'm just so passionate. I'm seeing God just speak to me and some things happening. Things are moving. I'm telling you, if you'll lean into your relationship with God, you'll press into this time of 21 days of prayer and fasting. I'm telling you, he's speaking. We serve a God who speaks to his people, and you can expect to hear from him. And I just challenge you, what would it look like if you went all in? What if it looked like if you were at the next four prayer rallies? I tell you this, your life would be better. What if you made the decision, man, I'm going to be faithful coming at church as much as I possibly can. I'm going to get in a small group. I'm going to tell you, your life will be better. Absolutely it will. Just making the decision, no shortcuts. I'm going all in. I'm making the decision, and I want to get as close to you as I can. Would you stand to your feet today? As I was praying for this service today, I really felt like the Holy Spirit just gave me some instruction today for us to do together as a church. Because here's what I know, and here's what's easy, is when we get in a posture of prayer sometimes, or when we think about prayer, this is kind of where some go to. And I get it, because we all come from different backgrounds and different things. And so here's what I ask, nobody leaving, just hang out. The service isn't done yet, all right, because this is really important. I want to get this to us. Because this is something God is wanting to speak to us, and something he's wanting us to hear from him. And so here's what happens is, well, God knows my thoughts, or he knows my heart, so I don't need to open my mouth. And nothing could be further from the truth. God wants you and I to open our mouth when we pray, when we worship. Here's what I know about worship. The worship is not about me. Worship is about him. Amen? Worship is all about the King and worshiping, giving the praise that's due to his name. And so when we worship, we're not singing about him, we're singing to him. It's an intimate part. I love worship. It's one of my favorite things. I grew in the house of a worship leader. My mom did it for 20 plus years. And so the worship has just always been just something that is close to me, that I just love. One of my hardest days, guess what I do? Worship. It's just my go-to. I just fall in love with God again and again and again. And just worship has the ability to make God bigger than my situation. And so, you know, going all in with God is making that decision with your life, not just with words, but with your action. You know, I'm going to use these guys as an example. These guys, this team, made a decision a long time ago in their life at some point in the journey. I'm going to go all in with God. I'm going to figure out my gifts. I'm going to figure out my passion. You'll see some of these guys on this stage are players. They play instruments. Some of them are singing. They sing their vocals. Some of them can do both. But regardless, they made the decision for them and God. God has given me a gift, and they said, I'm not going to sit on my gift. I'm so thankful that you guys didn't sit on your gift. I mean, thank you so much for just your passion and your heart, because I mean, we're blessed to have great worship here. We really are. Go ahead. Yes, we're blessed. Listen, I've preached at a lot of churches. You call me biased, but I think we got one of the best. Just my opinion. But nonetheless, but when you're singing this song, and as these guys leading, it's not about these guys leading. They'll be the first to tell you that. It's about Him, focusing on Him. And their gift is to help edify and encourage and lead us into the presence of God. But they're not doing it for you or for me. They're doing it for Him. And we guess what? We get to be the recipients of it, of just helping to receive what a blessing it is when they play and they sing. And so, but here's what I'm saying, is making the decision that I'm going to go all in. I'm going to do my part to help build the kingdom, advance the kingdom. I'm not going to sit on what God's given me, but I'm going to do it. Now, the second part of this is understanding in prayer and in worship. This is why this is important. And I just want to pastor you for a minute. Opening up your mouth is what's going to activate faith in your life. And this is, again, the thoughts that I know. Well, Pastor, I can't sing. You don't want to hear this. I've heard that, and then I've heard again, man, God knows my hearts and thoughts. And He does. You're right. He knows your hearts and thoughts. But when the world came into existence, the Bible said He didn't think the world into existence. He spoke the world into existence. When light came, He didn't think, let there be light. He said, let there be light. Okay? So there's an importance of opening up your mouth and praying. And for some of us, I know, man, that's news. I was kind of scared. I don't know what to say. Doesn't matter. It can just start with, God, I love You. And just grow from there. And just grow in your confidence and your faith and learning how to talk to God. Just like I'm talking to you, all right? And because I don't, with my wife, Bethany, I don't just sit there at the dinner table or at home at night and just look at her. You know what I'm thinking, right? You know, no, I talk to her. I mean, that would be a hard way to live a marriage, all right? And maybe that's a whole nother message. Don't do that, all right? And so, your communication. But God wants to hear from you. That's the bottom line. And then your worship, when we have lyrics on the screens, you know, I realize that a lot of people don't know all the songs. And again, I realize that we come from different backgrounds. But this is the word. And this is what God wants for us. He wants to grow us to be as close to Him as possible. And I would say, just like God said, let's get comfortable with knowing that God wants to move in our life. And as we sing, listen to me, as we pray, as we do some of those things, some of us may feel something, some of us may hear something, just like that man said to me that day, man, I felt something. I got to come back to figure out what it was. For some of us, that may be how the Holy Spirit moves. For some of us, it may be differently. But more importantly, God wants to speak, and He wants to move in your life. And so what I want us to do, the team's going to sing a song we just sang, Jesus, I Need You. I love this song, because it's a real intimate, personal song. Because how many of y'all know we need some more Jesus? Yeah, we all need some more Jesus, all right? And so, but for some of us, this song can be, as you're singing about Him, that God, I need You in my marriage. For some of us, maybe your marriage is struggling today. For some of us, maybe your kids are struggling. It's like, God, my kids are freaking out. Jesus, I need You. For some of us, your job is like, I don't know how this is going to work. I'm ready to just throw in the towel. But today, give it to Him and say, God, I just need You. Call on Him. And for some, it's maybe just singing. For some, like I said, just opening your mouth and just praying a simple prayer like, God, I just need You today. Lord, I love You. God, I honor You. God, I invite You in my life. For some of you, you may have somebody that's in the hospital, somebody that needs a miracle. And God, I just thank You for moving upon that person, that family, in Jesus' name. It's people that are watching. We prayed earlier in second service. People that watch this service, they're in the hospitals. I spoke and visited one yesterday, said, I'm watching, Pastor. I'm watching my church, she said, on video, and we're praying for her full recovery in Jesus' name. And so I just want you to know God is moving and speaking. So as we're doing this, man, let's enter in and let's open up our mouth today. Come on. When the whole world's falling quiet,
Give me a song in the night. Jesus, I need you every moment. I need you. I'm here now, this grace born heart sing out your praise forever. Beautiful ashes. Find the weak and contrite heart, shoulder its burden, carry it into the light. Jesus, I need you every moment. Christ behind me, your loving kindness has never failed. Christ before me, Christ behind me, remember love, remember mercy. Christ before me, Christ behind me, your loving kindness has never failed. Christ before me, Christ behind me. Remember love, remember mercy. Christ before me, Christ behind me, your loving kindness has never failed. Christ before me, Christ behind me. Jesus, I need you every moment. I need you. Here now, this grace for Christ before me.
Come on, church.
Christ behind me. Your loving kindness has never failed me. Christ before me.
Come on.
Christ behind me. Remember love. Remember mercy. Christ before me. Christ behind me, Your loving kindness has never failed me. Christ before me, Christ behind me.
Come on, we want to hear just the voices.
Remember,
come on. Come on.
Remember mercy, Christ before me, Christ behind me.
That's it.
Your loving kindness,
good, church. Come on.
Has never failed me. Christ before me, Christ
behind me. Come on, one last time with everything you got. Come on.
Remember love, remember mercy, Christ before me, Christ behind me. Your loving kindness has never failed me. Christ before me, Christ behind me.
Father, we thank you today, Lord, for the ministry of your Holy Spirit that's in this place. Well, I know some of us today, God, may have heard or felt, sensed something maybe we haven't before. But Lord, this we know, that you are here. Your presence is here. You're amongst us, God, today. Lord, not just here, but you're going to go with us. You're going to go with us today when we get in our car, head home, and God, this week. God, whatever it is that we're facing, whatever is going on, we declare that we are not alone. That your Holy Spirit is with us, and we invite you, Holy Spirit, into our lives, into our situations. And God, I just ask you today, forgive us for trying to do things our own way. Forgive us, God, of trying to be in control when you need to be in control. Forgive us, God, of trying to carry things we were never meant to carry. And God, we just surrender our lives to you today. And God, we just ask you, God, and we declare, just like in that song, Jesus, we need you. We need you so much in our life, and we are desperate for you. And I thank you, God, for your presence here today with us. Awaken us. Awaken us, God, to your power and to know that you desire to move, and it's going to be different, but help us to know it's going to be okay, and different's good. And so, God, as we press forward into what you have for us in 2019, Lord, we don't want how things used to be. We want what you want in this season, in this new hour, God. We're desperate for you, and we invite you into our life. We invite you in our homes, our families, our marriages. We invite you in our church, God. Move, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I just want to give you an opportunity before we end our time here today. Maybe for some, this is brand new to you today. I just want you to know, man, Jesus loves you. God sent his son for you, died for you, but rose again. We serve a God who's not dead, but who's alive and well today. And so if you're here today and you don't know him personally, in just a moment, I'm going to ask us to just raise our hand where you're at, if that's you. Or maybe you're here and you had a relationship with God at one point, but you just haven't been following him, and you realize, man, I need to follow. I need to put Christ back at the center of my life again and focus on him. If that's you, I'm talking to you too. So on the count of three, I'm just going to ask you to slip up your hand. We're not going to embarrass anybody, and I'm going to ask you to come down to the front. Just want you to be bold. Be bold, though. Forget about who's on your right and your left. And if you say, man, that's me, on the count of three. Come on, one, two, three, in this place, real high. Say, that's me. Yeah. Gotcha. Proud of you guys. Awesome. All right, you can put your hands down. Proud of you guys. And I'm just going to lead you in a prayer, and you can repeat this prayer after me today. And just say, Jesus, I welcome you into my life. I repent of my sins, and I turn from them today. Jesus, thank you for loving me, for giving your life for me. Come and be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.